This is AgriPod, the podcast about agricultural journalism in Europe. Thousands of journalists in different countries inform their readers, listeners and viewers about the dynamic agricultural sector. How do they do their work? What are they up to against? What are the bottlenecks in the different countries? And what can agricultural journalists learn from each other? We speak to experts from the journalistic world. This is the third edition. After Belgium and Croatia, we now go to Switzerland. AgriPods is a production of Dutch Roots, the international part of the Dutch Association of Agricultural Journalism. My name is Esther de Snow. I'm editor-in-chief of the Dutch magazine Nieuwe Oogst. It means new crop. My conversation partner is Adrian Krebs. He is 57 years old. He is editor for the Swiss platform BioActual, and he is also spokesman for the organization of organic farmers, the FIBL. Adrian, welcome in this podcast, the AgriPods. How big is the organic agricultural sector in Switzerland?
The organic sector is about 12% of the surface of the agricultural land, and about 15% of the farmers are in the organic sector. The interesting point is maybe that as the president of the Swiss Organic Farmers Union recently said, that he estimates that the surface is bigger because a lot of conventional farmers are working with organic methods, but maybe not on the whole surface, and they are not licensed. So that's quite an interesting point, I think. So I say maybe you can guess that about 30% of the surface is
30. Yes.
Organic farming, but only half of it is certified organic.
Okay. Have you been always working for the organic agricultural business?
No, in the last 8 years I was working for the biggest newspaper for Swiss farmers in general. So we covered everybody, and I mean we had a part of it was organic, but it was for the general farmer in the German speaking part of Switzerland.
Okay. All right. And so you switched to the BioActual. That's the name of the platform you're working for now, is it?
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's correct. Yes.
And you combine that with spokesmen, also for the organization where you are working for the FIBL.
Yes, for this research institute. It may seem a little bit strange to you, but it's actually quite a good combination because both jobs kind of have synergies with each other. So what's happening in our institute is some of it, a lot of it is interesting for the Swiss organic farmers.
Yes.
And on the other hand, when I'm visiting farmers or going to events, I can also bring input from the farmers back into the institute. And our institute has a very big focus on finding research solutions that are very adaptable in the daily farming business.
Okay. And how many readers you have for BioActual?
We have about 10 to 20,000 clicks a week. So it means we have about 50 to 100% of the organic farmers in the German-speaking part who will look at it at least once a week.
Okay.
And we also have a French-speaking part of the same this website. So it means that we cover nearly 100% of the organic farmers, and there's also interest by non-organic farmers visiting our site. Well, there is also a printed magazine.
Okay.
But it's a different editorial team who produces the magazine. And this editorial team is situated at the seat of the Swiss Organic Farmers Association, which is in Basel. And we are situated on the countryside, about 50 kilometers from Basel.
So that's a split organization?
Yes, kind of. It's quite complicated. But we try to work together as well as possible.
Yes. Okay, I understand. And you mainly work for the internet. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And
yes,
I can also see that your website, BioActual, is in three languages, in German, Italian and French.
Yeah, it's also Italian. Italian is a very small part of the website, but it's important still because we have even four languages in Switzerland. But the fourth language we don't cover because the people who speak this fourth language, they normally speak German or Italian. So we produce in three languages. But the big majority of the farmers are working in the Swiss and in the French-speaking part of the country. While the Italians, there are very few. So we don't translate all the information into Italian, but we translate nearly everything into French. And the aim is to keep all the organic farmers on the same level of information.
What position do the websites and also the magazine take in the Swiss landscape of agricultural media?
Website is, we are not making, like, I would say, any kind of comments or editorial policies. We just try to cover all necessary information. Some of it is interesting also for non-organic farmers, but we mainly focus on the organic farmers. Well, the magazine has some more opinion bits, and there it's clear because I'm not working on this team. They are trying to promote organic farming, and in a lot of parts we sit in the same boat like the conventional farmers. So it's mostly trying to improve the situation of organic farmers to have easier proceedings to become an organic farmer, but to also collaborate with the rest of the farmers and to help them find solutions with problems that they have that then they can maybe not solve with conventional technology.
Okay, but for the organic Swiss farmer, you are the main website.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Yeah, but they would also read like the two websites of the two big weekly magazines in the German-speaking part. Both of them are news sites which have a much higher density of information. So if you, as an organic farmer, when you want to get your information about general ag policy that you are also influenced by, you will also consult the conventional farming sites like the one I worked for in the last 8 years, you know.
What role can the media play in the agricultural business in Switzerland?
I think it's a two-direction role. One side, I think the main role is to inform the farmers and their families and the whole sector about the events outside and inside that influence them. We don't only inform them, but we also try to analyze the information that we give them. We are having I'm not in these magazines anymore, but I'm not in not so opinionated anymore, but we try to also defend the sector But on the other hand, also we were also critical towards the farmers when we felt that there's necessary to say something about misbehaving by like a small percentage of the farmers, or when the farmers union made decisions that we didn't think were very intelligent, we wouldn't dare saying it. So we always said we are critical friends of the farm sector. And we also had to explain, for example, the union leaders that we are not making a paper for the, mainly for the union leaders, but mainly for the farmers, you know. That's sometimes two different cups of tea. You know, we also are kind of representing the opinion or the mood of the farm sector towards the outside. So a lot of journalists from mass media will read these papers, not so much Bioaktuell, but the two big farm papers or their website, to see what's the atmosphere like, how do farmers react to decisions in politics, and then they will take quotes out of our paper and demonstrate how the farmers are reacting to, like, for example, very big discussion at the moment, the wolf, you know, the shooting of the wolf, the hunting of the wolf.
Yes, it's also an issue here in Holland, yes.
So we have a lot of discussion about that, and the farm sector is very afraid that it will put in danger the keeping of animal in the mountains. And we have a lot of discussion about that in our papers and on the websites. So that is very interesting also for the mass media, because it's a very emotional subject. And the city opinion is very different from the country opinion. So this is so that's why they're interested, you know, in these agricultural papers too, you know.
Okay, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. So your role is information, of course, on journalistic grounds, I suppose. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. And what is your main source? Is that your organization, the Federation of Biological Farmers? Or is that your main source, or are there more?
There is more, because, for example, as I'm working here at the Research Institute, we have a lot of meetings here. A lot of farmers come here to visit formation, you know, like, or meetings about for nearly every sector. So when the farmers come here and I visit these events, I will discuss with the farmers and they give me information, or I will talk to employees of the institute, researchers, that are also a lot of them have a lot of contacts, you know, and they bring in information. So on the other hand, we also have the information, the official information from the union, or also from the National Farm Union, or from politics. So there's a lot of, there's companies, there is fairs, like the International Fair Biofach. So there's a lot of different input, you know, and then we transport information on one hand, but sometimes, or quite often, we take information and try to make research and investigate about information that we get. It's just very normal journalistic work, you know.
Yes, okay.
But what's maybe a little bit different, in comparison with like a normal, like I worked before, here I have to maybe ask 2-3 people more about what to publish, you know. It's a little bit more controlled maybe, but the basic journalistic work doesn't really differ.
And who is controlling?
Like when I would write about subjects, like last week I wrote a big article about pig problems with the pig feeding. Uh-huh. So I would show it to the specialists in our institute who are specialized on the pig feeding subject. and also to the product manager in the Organic Farmers Union.
Yes.
So they can have a look at it. And because for me, I'm also quite new in the sector, and it's quite good for me also to have like fact checking if everything is okay, because the information has to be correct.
Were you able to publish the article about a
pig
feeding?
Yeah, sure, yeah, published, yeah.
Okay.
And it was quite interesting because there were some news in it about exceptions that they will make from the federal government has decided that they will make some exceptions. And I published this article, and I called then an old colleague from the farm paper, and I told him, look, I wrote this article, maybe it's interesting for you. And he took some information from my article, and he wrote an article himself quoting our website, you know.
That's good for you, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also, we just want to be the specialist on everything organic farming, and try to be earlier than the colleagues in the conventional papers and websites.
Okay. If you look at the general media in Switzerland, how do they cover agricultural items? Do they know what they are talking about?
It has changed in the last years because the media have to cut down expenditures and jobs. So there's much less specialists for any subject. Agriculture is just one example. So you have quite a lot of people in the news sites that have no clue about agriculture. And you can always, I mean, I was a journalist in a daily paper, and many things I wrote about, I didn't have a clue before. So it's always about how you deal with that, you know, if you ask the experts and you don't write stuff, you didn't have a fact check at all. So I think there is more articles written by people who don't really know much about agriculture. It can be a problem at the moment when these journalists don't understand that they don't have a clue, you know. So and they have, or I mean, sometimes you say they don't have a clue, but they have a lot of opinion. And they have a lot of opinion because of the big societal discussions at the moment. Like, for example, meat is generally bad. Any kind of import of feed is very bad. Any kind of growing food, feed for animals on our surfaces is very bad, you know, all these things. So when you don't allow any kind of other opinion and you have a thesis and you want to write an article, that is a problem. But when you don't have a clue and you ask everybody and you make yourself like an objective picture, then it's different. But in general, just the last word, I think the quality of the average coverage of agriculture is still positive.
Is the reputation of the Swiss farmer also positive?
Difficult question. I mean, I know quite well the situation in Netherlands. And you have to say that I'm very impressed by the performance of Dutch agriculture. You know, Switzerland and Netherlands are the same size. And Netherlands has the double population, and well, you have no mountains, but you're one of the, I think you are the second biggest ag exporter in the world, and we import 55% of our food. So you see the role of Swiss agriculture is a little bit different, and we are also economically, it's not very meaningful, but the state invests a lot of money in agriculture.
Okay.
So they have to be a little bit better than everybody else because their salaries, or their income is financed, depending on, like in the mountains, for example, A mountain farmer will receive 70% of his income by the state, you know, more or less. A valley farmer, he will maybe receive 20% of his income by the state. So they have to, they are in a little bit in the shopping window, and they have to be very good. So the discussion about ecology, there's always a few black sheep, and they make a lot of bad headlines. But in general, I would say the image is intact, and the average farmer is very conscious about ecological improvements and stuff like that.
What are the most important bottlenecks for you to encounter as a professional agricultural journalist?
Now, I have a little bit of different situation because I'm now working in an institute that finances my work, and partially we are financed, about one third of our income is financed by the state, Swiss state, and that's very different to the situation of the private companies that publish the agricultural papers. So these companies, there's two big ones. They have numerous challenges, and one is we have less and less farmers.
Yes. Okay.
So we have less and less companies working in the sector. So that reduces the number of subscriptions, and that reduces the amount of ads, you know, so we can sell less publicity in the papers. So the general trend is that there is less money in the sector, and you have also quite a lot of these unions. We have so many unions, and they all publish their own magazines, and they are all subsidized, subsidized by these unions. And we also have quite a lot of international magazines from abroad, Germany mainly, and Austria, for the German-speaking part, that are also pushing on the Swiss market. So there is more and more publications who try to convince less and less farmers to read their publications. The average farmer has less and less time to read because he is getting more and more busy, because he has more and more services and more animals. Plus, you have all other distractions, you know, you have a daily newspaper, you want to, the farmers still watch quite a lot of television. So it's a very high competition for the information time of the farmer. They are more and more on the telephones, also on the mobile phones. Like, for example, we have made a lot of progress in the mobile sites. So they are readable on the telephone. We are, we were trying to go much stronger into social media, but everybody does it, so it's a very hard competition. And also the journalists have to be more and more polyvalent. You know, at the time, they all are, like 20 years ago when I started, or 30 years ago, all you had to do is write an article. But now you also have to make video, you have to make podcast, you have to be able to promote your own stuff on social media, so it's become much more demanding, but also much more interesting, I think.
Yeah.
The salaries paid for agricultural journalism are not very good in comparison with the salaries that are paid for jobs like in the feed industry or in the administration, in other agricultural sectors. So it's not so easy to find well-educated people who are ready to write and to do this job that is still very interesting and fascinating, but doesn't pay very well.
Okay. If you had to give a point between 1 and 10, what will your score be for the Swiss agricultural journalists?
An eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you explain? That's quite a high number.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit high because I'm praising myself.
Of course.
No, it depends. I mean,
and your colleagues.
The average agricultural journalist is educated in the farm sector, so they have a quite a good knowledge of agriculture. They know how to talk to a farmer.
Yes.
They know how the whole sector functions more or less, or they can learn it quite easily. And then on the other hand, you have to be the other. I think for this, I would give them to, when you take 5 points for the know-how of the sector and 5 points for the journalistic skills, I would give them 4 to 5 points for the know-how in the sector and maybe 3 to 3.5 points for the journalistic skills. The young agronomists, they come, I mean, they don't really learn to write anymore because they only write on their telephones, you know, like not crippled text, but, you know, speech more or less. And they don't have to write so properly anymore as we used
to have training
when the the over 50s, you know. So they have, for them, it's a real challenge to write a sentence, even to find out which letters do you have to how do you start the sentence with a big letter, you know. They don't know that sometimes, or which words. In German, you have small letters and big letters. Words are written. Names are always written with a big A or a big B. Stuff like that, very simple stuff that they have to learn first. So that's the big challenge. And you have to learn how to hold your telephone to make a proper video, and you have to learn how to use a microphone so the sound is more or less appropriate and stuff like that.
Yes.
So
there's. And what is your age?
57.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Very old.
Yeah. What about the influence of the advertisers? Do they have a lot of influence?
Yeah, their influence is quite big because they finance about half of the income of the private papers, you know. So I can just say this example. We had, for example, an article about 10 years ago before I arrived at my paper, and it described how you can import a tractor privately without buying it from an importer. And we described it very exactly how you have to do it, and you can save some, I don't know, 5 to 10% of the price. So the consequence was that one of the biggest importers just didn't make any more ads in our paper as a punishment because we kind of disturbed his business. That's just an example. So in general, you always have a little bit, it's quite rare that they really come directly to you and tell you, well, we are going to punish you or something. It's more that you have like scissors in your head that you sometimes think, oh, that's our biggest client.
Yes, okay. And the influence is getting more? Is it getting more? Is it getting bigger?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it is because there is less and less companies and they get bigger and bigger. So we always try to tell them, look, you must be interested to have a place where you have independent information, and we also have to be critical. We explained it to them. It's the same like with the farmers' unions, and normally they understand because they also, for them, it can also be a kind of competition to be better than the others and to prove that also when you make comparison.
Okay.
But, you know, for example, to make comparison of machines, you know, to say which tractor is better, that's so difficult to tell, you know, for a small, we are 20 people in the company for the newspaper. So how do you want to finance a comparison of 10 big tractors? Where do you take the know-how from, the independent know-how? That's very difficult. That's
yes, I understand.
Challenge.
What can agricultural journalists in other European countries learn from their Swiss colleagues?
We are quite advanced in the development of agricultural policy, and we always say we are a little bit ahead of the EU. We stopped the milk quota before the EU. We started the the greening of our ag policy before of the EU. So I would recommend to all EU Ag journalists to regularly read our publication so they can see what happens in the EU in 10 years. No, it's, I mean, it's a little bit exaggerated, but we are a little bit of a laboratory and a little bit, as a non-EU country, we have more freedom to create our own agricultural policy. And we are very good in partying also, so I would recommend to all ag journalists to come to the Swiss Congress next year in August to Switzerland, and we will have a very good program for all of them.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you also so much for that invitation. Thank you so much also for this conversation, for this interview, Adrian Krebs. This was the third AgriPods. Before we look at a completely different part of Europe, Belgium and Croatia, and this time Switzerland. Thank you for listening to the AgriPods.